Tash and I talk a lot about COVID in 2022 and 2021. It's still around. In fact, some of the numbers around are frightening. Now, we've got doctors warning that the nation's hospitals are heading toward a crisis during the Christmas period with a new wave of COVID infections. You don't need to be a genius to know that. And indeed, an ED specialist, an emergency department doctor I heard on radio in Melbourne last week, said every emergency department in Melbourne was overrun. Professor Mark Stube is the Burnett Institute Head of Public Health. He's been kind enough to join us. Thanks for your time, Professor.
Thanks, Steve. Good to be with you.
Politicians are trying desperately to pretend it doesn't exist anymore, it seems to me.
It's interesting. Message around COVID exceptionalism and trying to remove COVID exceptionalism has crept into the lexicon. The fact is that the numbers indicate that COVID still is an exceptional disease, a respiratory virus in Australia. We're still getting over 15,000 cases notified a day, which is likely to be a significant underestimate for people who can't access RATs or don't report their RAT results. It's still creeping up. There's an 8 to 10% increase, on the previous period. It is absolutely still around.
So from a policy point of view, and you're an expert in public health, Melbourne, Victoria, at one point went into lockdown with 4 or 5 cases. We've now got 15,000 cases nationally a day. No one's got an appetite for lockdowns anymore. We know that. But surely there's a more sensible middle ground than just make out it's not here.
Yeah, look, I think there is. We're well past those lockdown phases, and that was a really effective tool when we didn't have vaccines. Australia was incredibly successful in reducing the number of deaths in the early phases of the pandemic when we didn't have vaccines. The public health measures such as lockdown was basically all we had. Now in this post-vaccine period, there are a range of, what I would describe as harm reduction mechanisms that can be employed. Still, high quality masks are really important indoors and in crowded locations, and also ventilation. Those are the two key things at the moment that we can really focus on to try and reduce the spread or slow the spread and take that pressure off our hospital systems, as well as to, take care of ourselves and our loved ones as well over this Christmas period.
I hear the odd ad saying you should wear a mask, but I don't see politicians out there publicly urging you to do it. I'm increasingly seeing masks. My two colleagues in the studio here are masked this morning, but I got on got into a lift with someone this morning wearing a mask. But I travelled to Sydney on a plane on Tuesday. Probably 2 or 3 people on that whole plane had a mask on. There I am for an hour and a half in an aluminium tube with not many people masked. So the message is very, very confusing for people, I think.
Yeah, I think it. I would really like to see both the Commonwealth and jurisdictional governments invest in a little bit more health promotion. I was similar to you. I was on a couple of flights the last couple of weeks, and again, I was one of only 3 or 4 people on the plane with a mask. The ventilation in planes is generally pretty good. Exchange of air in aircraft is great. What I would really encourage people, though, it's very high risk when you're boarding and getting off planes, before the engines are fired up and before that ventilation system is going. I would just really encourage people at the moment, when the numbers are what they are and leading into Christmas, I would really encourage people to wear a high-quality mask indoors if you're going to a shopping centre or you expect to be in a crowded location.
Yeah, so I've got an 88-year-old mother flying from Adelaide to Melbourne on Monday. Would you be telling me to tell her to invest in a proper mask?
Oh, absolutely. My mother is 90. And I take all the precautions I can around mum. I encourage her to, she only really goes out shopping once a week. She always wears, a high quality mask, and, I bring those masks up for her. I do a RAT test before I go and visit her, and I encourage my family to do so as well. So it's the message, I guess, I would like to get out to the community is to know your risk, but also know the risk of others around you. And you know, at this, particularly at this time, you know, this Christmas is going to be special for a lot of people. You know, the last, you know, few Christmases have obviously been significantly disrupted. So, you know, people are going to be really keen to spend a family Christmas together. So, but there's a range of things that we can do to try and make that as safe as possible. And they don't have to be major disruptors at all. You know, it's just really about taking care of those around us.
Just finally, given what we've just discussed, were you a little surprised on Monday when Health Minister Mark Butler released that National COVID Health Management Plan, which included the fact that PCR tests were now not free, and from next year you're going to have to get your doctor to give you a referral to go and get one?
Yes, I was a little surprised. I would prefer that decision not to have been made. I think one of the issues at the moment is equity. One of the things that we've seen during the pandemic is people from low socioeconomic backgrounds, those in casual jobs, you know, those that, yeah, you know, come from, you know, marginalised places in the community, bore an unequal burden of COVID. And we're seeing that now as well. You know, what's happened is that the government has shifted responsibility for COVID onto individuals, but not really provided individuals with the tools to protect themselves. You know, this decision is, you know, I don't necessarily agree with it. I don't think it's particularly with the numbers as high as they are, but it's also forcing people into using RATs, which a lot of people can't afford. And, you know, you really, if you're unwell, you want to test with a RAT multiple days, you know, when you've got symptoms. And at that cost, for people on low incomes, it's just not affordable for them. So if you're going to bring in a decision like this, I would very much like to see the subsidisation or, you know, making RATs free and making high-quality masks free for people on low incomes. I think... you know, if the government is going to shift burden onto individuals, then I think it's incumbent upon governments to also support individuals with the tools to help them protect themselves and others.
You talk so much sense, Professor. Thanks very much for helping us out today.
No worries. Thanks, Steve.
The Burnett Institute Head of Public Health, laying it on the line there, Professor Mark Stube.
Thanks for listening to this Australia Today podcast. For more of the news that affects you, download the Listener app and search Australia Today. Listener.